Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Vladimir Dutip, and welcome to CBS Mornings on the Go. Ahead on this Wednesday, June 10th, a scary warning on Social Security from our own Jill Schlesinger, why payments may go way down and what can be done about it. Plus, the rules are changing for sunscreen. That hasn't happened in decades. So why now? And what does it mean for your health? We'll have the answers. Also, NASA Chief Jared Isaacman on the new Artemis 3 crew and what's next for NASA's moon program. We've got the books of the year so far with Amazon's Sarah Gellman. Lots of great summer reading. And the series Off Campus is a monster hit. You'll hear how playing a single song during a love scene made that performer's career take off. All that and more ahead.
But we begin this hour with the new strikes by Iran against U.S. bases in the Middle East. Targets include Jordan, Bahrain, and Kuwait. It's retaliation for a series of U.S. strikes on Iranian targets. That followed the downing of U.S. helicopter on Monday night. A crewless drone rescued the two chopper pilots. It's the first time that we've heard of that happening in a combat zone. This morning, President Trump said Iran is taking too long to negotiate and will have to pay the price.
In this morning's Health Watch, a big change is coming for sunscreen. Just approved by the FDA, a new sunscreen ingredient for the first time in more than 25 years. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved this new ingredient. It's called Bemotrizinol. It's been used in Europe and Asia for decades. Experts say it offers broad protection against both UVA and UVB rays. Board certified dermatologist Dr. Rachel Nazarian is here to show us what this means for all of us. Just break this down. How big of a deal is it the first time in 25 years to have a new ingredient?
It's a really big deal. This one checks all the boxes. This is going to be the golden child. You know, it blocks both UVA and UVB. It's a large molecule, doesn't absorb into the system. It's very safe. It's super effective. It's a great team player, meaning it can play with some other ingredients. It's photostable, doesn't break under pressure like a lot of sunscreen ingredients. They break down in light. This does not. This is essentially the Jalen Brunson of sunscreen.
Okay. All right.
If we can make that
right. So it's going to come in the clutch.
But wait, is this, so oftentimes when I'm in, for example, South Korea, they have great sunscreens there. I bring those here to the United States, but you can't buy them here in the U.S. Is that the ingredient that's going into the...
Yes, sir.
What? That is huge.
So you don't have to pack your suitcases anymore when you travel and bring it all back. We're going to have it here, hopefully as early as August 9th.
So how does it feel and look different while you're using it?
It feels so much more cosmetically elegant. You know, a lot of those old sunscreens that blocked UVA and UVB, they left that white cast on the skin.
Yes. Of course.
This does not do that, but it's just as effective and safe. So it's going to feel really nice on your skin. And I think it's going to really change the game here in the U.S.
Why were the Europeans and Asians able to get this to the market faster than the United States?
The U.S. has its own regulatory system. And it's in some ways great because we want to make sure that, you know, the Americans are getting safe and effective things, and testing things over time takes time. So it's a good thing, but it's also, of course, a bad thing, right? But I will give major applauding to the American Academy of Dermatology, which did a fantastic job of changing the legislation so that actually from now on, we're probably going to get some of these ingredients a little bit faster.
Does that mean that other ingredients could be approved sometime in the near future?
Absolutely. There's a lot more things on the menu that I think Americans are going to want.
I mean, my mind is blown because I remember when I first came back with these products from Asia, I finished with them. I went to like a South Korean cosmetic store and I was like, I want this brand. They're like, here it is. And it's the same brand, but it's missing the ingredient that you love.
Yeah, because it really cracked down.
And it was a noticeable difference when you use it.
Very noticeable.
You don't get the white cast. It just goes on clear, gives you a glow.
Yeah, as opposed to smelling like the beach or whatever it is that they put in the stuff.
And because a lot of those companies actually already use it abroad, I don't think it's going to take that long for it to get into the U.S. and to be on the shelves. Now, there was one company that's exclusivity for about 18 months. So after that one company loses exclusivity, then all the other companies are going to jump on board and you're going to see it everywhere.
So we have to wait for all the other products to come.
You'll see it still starting around August 9th, but it won't be necessarily in all the different sunscreens.
Dr. Rachel Nazarian, always great to have you. Thank you very much.
Now we have a serious warning about the millions of dollars Americans rely on for retirement. More than 62 million people get benefits from the Old Age and Survivors Insurance Trust Fund. A new government analysis says in just 6 years, the fund will only have enough money to pay 78% of its scheduled benefits. Now, this calls for CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger to break it all down for us. So explain to us, how does all of this work?
Okay, Social Security is a pay-as-you-go system, meaning workers pay for the people who are retired. So you're working hard right now. You see that FICA tax come out, 6.2% of your pay. Your boss matches 6.2% of the pay. That goes to pay for your grandma's Social Security benefits. When there were tons of baby boomers working, we built up extra money that we didn't actually have to pay out. There were so many people working. Now, flipped on its head, the boomers are all retiring. Now we don't have enough money of all those reserves that built up to actually pay out the promised benefits. So this is a really important issue because we've been warning about this probably for about a dozen years.
Yep.
And it takes Congress to act. So it is not that the system is going broke. It's that those excess reserves that built up, those are going to be depleted.
So what happens in 2032?
Okay, so magic year 2032, which is oddly close to the year I would be claiming Social Security. What happens is the way Social Security is structured is that it automatically would mean that there are cuts to the promised benefits.
Right.
So that would mean a 22% reduction automatically going into effect. So can I just play this out?
Yeah.
Most Americans on average receive, let's say, a $2,000 monthly check.
Right.
That would mean as of 2032, you get a lopped off amount and it is reduced by 22%. So it's no longer your $2,000, right? It's now $1,540.
That's significant.
And that is so important. That's the part. So even if you've already claimed benefits, for people who are like, oh my God, I'm going to claim early, no matter what, every single person will take a 22% reduction.
So can anything be done to fix this? And are there any immediate actions?
Okay, so number one, it is fixable. It requires Congress. So that may mean that you feel like, oh my God, it's not fixable. Pound the phones. Pound the email, send your political representatives a note saying, I'm worried about this.
I've been saying this for years.
Absolutely. Okay, so what can they do? They can actually increase the amount of money on which FICA taxes are paid. That's the wage base. It can go from about $184,000. We could lift it to, say, $300,000. I know, not going to make a lot of people happy, but we have to pay for the system. We could actually say, hey, you know what? People have to work longer. But again, this is a tough one because if you are a blue collar worker and I'm saying, yeah, you got to work till you're 75, that doesn't make so much sense.
Yeah.
Congress can fix the problem, get on it. For right now, go to ssa.gov and check out your own benefit and check. Make sure you're registered in the system.
Breaking it down like boxes on recycling day. Jill Schlesinger, thank you. It's time to look at some of the stories that caught our eye. And doing the honors this morning is Adriana Diaz. Adriana, good morning.
Good morning. I'm wearing Knicks colors in honor of Gail. I got to represent today.
Represent. Ooh.
All right, okay. So we begin with a stunning story. A pilot is accused of flying thousands of passengers on some 900 flights over 17 years without a proper license. Authorities say the 59-year-old used false documents after being promoted to captain in 2009 until his retirement last year. Air Canada says he did have a valid commercial pilot license, but never got the license required to act as a captain. The airline added safety was not compromised because they say pilots have training every 6 months. Now, the former pilot faces multiple criminal charges, including, of course, fraud. Now let's go overseas to where a violent anti-immigration protest has erupted in Northern Ireland after a brutal stabbing. Authorities say a man from Sudan attacked another man with a kitchen knife on a street in Belfast. Video of the attack went viral and there were calls on social media for demonstrations. Protesters set homes and vehicles on fire, blocking roads even. Police are urging calm. They say the suspect is in custody on suspicion of attempted murder. The victim is in a hospital in serious condition. Now we want you to see this scary video from a recent soccer game in Hungary where a camera fell into a field. So you can see the equipment known as a spider cam smoking. Oh. There you go. It smashes onto the ground, narrowly missing a cameraman. Local media reports it fell about 65 feet after a fire damaged its suspension wires. You know how they hang on wires?
Yeah.
No one was hurt, thankfully, and the match did resume after a short break. And finally, two of the world's most famous men met on Monday. I'm talking about my guys. Where's my, there it is. These guys.
Photos.
So where is the photo of their meeting? There isn't one. The Vatican confirms that they met briefly in Spain, but no pictures are expected to be released. Bad Bunny's fame, of course, exploded after his Grammy-winning album, Debir Tirar Más Fotos, which means I should have taken more pictures. The irony is not lost on us, Benito.
What?
That is that's really funny.
No photos.
I hope they took some and they're just keeping them
privately.
There it is.
Keep the moment.
There's definitely a selfie on Bad Bunny's selfie.
You would hope.
Yeah.
He was an altar boy. And he actually initiated the request to meet the Pope and met the Pope at one of the arenas where he was meeting with, with the faithful, as they call it, backstage. Yeah.
Gotcha. Someone on his team has to have
a photo.
There's a photo
or
somewhere.
A selfie.
But not for us.
All right, Adriana, thank you. All right, we now know the four astronauts who are training for NASA's next space mission. Three Americans and one Italian will be aboard the Artemis III set to launch next year. Randy Bresnik, Luca Parmitano, Andre Douglas, and Frank Rubio. The mission is part of NASA's preparation for a lunar landing that is set for 2028. Mark Strassman sat down with the crew. He joins us from the Johnson Space Center. Mark, good morning.
Good morning to you, Nate. This new Artemis crew will get right to it. Their first day of mission training starts today. We sat down with them to talk about that mission and the main obstacle still ahead of them.
One more round of applause for your Artemis III prime crew.
Meet the new crew for Artemis III, three American astronauts and one Italian. Artemis II Commander Reed Wiseman had a gift for Artemis III Commander Randy Bresnik, nickname Comrade.
The Artemis II crew, Comrade, hands you the baton. You got the controls.
Artemis III's mission will never go near the moon, will never even leave Earth's orbit. Its roughly two-week mission will practice maneuvering and docking with two lunar landers, one designed and built by SpaceX, the other by Blue Origin. None of that space hardware is ready.
I think the most challenging part will be getting our lunar landers developed and in space for us to be there at the same time.
We sat down with Commander Bresnik, pilot Luca Parmitano, and mission specialists Frank Rubio and Andre Douglas.
Are you confident that one of them, ideally both of them, will have their hardware together in time for your mission to happen next year?
Certainly, we have every hope, and we have everybody working and rowing in the same direction. And so if it comes to the point that they are not quite ready, then we will adapt.
They told us how they first heard NASA had selected them for this mission.
Our chief astronaut right now called us all into the office and said, hey, take a look around. This is the Artemis III crew. And moment of stunned silence followed by, lots of hugs and lots of elation and a huge honor.
Andre Douglas is the crew's only space rookie.
You've wanted this for a long time.
Yes, I have, since I was seven, so 33 years. And I said it today, I was like, you know, my brain is still processing this, but again, my heart feels full.
Artemis 3 has its crew. Now it just needs all that space hardware. Both Blue Origin and SpaceX have had rocket issues. They're very different lunar landers. They're still in development. And NASA wants this crew in orbit, their mission underway, sometime next year. Nate?
All right, Mark, thank you.
You might have heard Taylor Swift is getting hitched. It's a huge pop culture moment. Details of her wedding to NFL superstar Travis Kelce are strictly under wraps, but that hasn't stopped the rumors. They're popping up everywhere about basically everything. Of course, in this day and age, there's a lot of money hanging on those details. Our resident Swiftie, Jolene Kent, has been looking into all of this. We are dying to talk to you.
So good to be here, you guys. Of course, Taylor Swift, everyone's talking about this wedding and what's going to happen. Where is it going to be? What will she wear? Who else is attending? And those questions and rumors have made it to prediction markets like Kalshi and Polymarket. Bettors have wagered millions of dollars on platforms like Polymarket and Kalshi. And take a look at what we found. For the couple's wedding location, New York City, right here, heavy favorite, followed by Rhode Island, but those odds hovering around 20%. For the specific venues, it's almost a true split down the middle if fans think the pair will walk down the aisle, which would have to be constructed at Madison Square Garden. And of course, potential bridesmaids, that's where I've been looking. Kelce's sister-in-law, Kylie, model Gigi Hadid, singer Esti Haim, all above 50% odds. And already $3 million has gone into wedding markets across Kalshi and Polymarket. Only more expected as the speculation heats up, guys.
Wow. All right. So, Jolene, when most people think about betting markets, they think they're betting on sports. They think they're betting on politics, but not necessarily cultural events like this. So is this type of gambling new, or is there a big market for it, is the question.
So prediction markets kind of hit the mainstream a couple of years ago, and they have exploded over the past few months. The value of the market, about $60 billion right now. But then fast forward 4 years, Bernstein thinks it's going to be a $1 trillion market value for prediction markets alone. So the fans who like doing it, who are putting the $25 or $500 on whether it's sports or cultural events or the weather in Florida, they like it because they're like, oh, I'm monetizing my knowledge, right? But the critics out there say, is this the gamblification of American society? Is this a good idea? Yeah. And also, who actually has the information? Because you and I might be fans, and we may think we are really smart, but really it's a very small percentage of traders who have unbelievable amounts of data that are actually taking home the bacon on these platforms.
That is spot on.
That is interesting, right?
Thought about it from that perspective.
Is it fans or is there like professionals doing that? That's my one question.
So we've been sitting down with these guys across the country who are semi-professionals, who are building AI-powered programs to make money. So you're up against not just me and Vlad, say, but true professionals out there.
Wow. This is such an incredible, great reporting as a host, Jolene. Just got off a plane. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you. Okay, the U.S. World Cup soccer team kicks off its opening match on Friday. Coming up, you'll hear from the team captain, Tim Ream.
Hey, parents. We all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race?
a rain delay. Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's give it one more round of applause for your Artemis III prime crew.
On Tuesday, NASA revealed the four crew members for the Artemis III due to lift off next year. That mission is meant to build on the success of the Artemis II flight around the moon. Artemis III will test systems that are needed for a successful moon landing that is set for 2028. NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. Now, after the success of Artemis II, there is a lot of pressure on Artemis III, of course. So what went into the process of selecting this crew?
Well, no doubt the Artemis II crew set the bar very high. I mean, what a fantastic set of individuals. Our ambassadors to the stars had an unbelievable mission. But the show goes on. We're driving towards America's return to the lunar surface. Artemis II is the opening act. Artemis III be a little bit different. It's very much a test and developmental mission. We're going to launch Orion into Earth orbit. The Orion spacecraft there will rendezvous and dock with both lunar landers. So the SpaceX lander, the Blue Origin lander, test out interoperability when you're very close to home in advance of Artemis IV in 2028, where the next crew will go down to the lunar surface. As for the crew selection process, you can see you've got a lot of test pilots in here because this very much is a test mission. The landers right now are currently in development. The landers that they will interact with on Artemis III will not be the finished product. There'll be a lot to learn there. Let's learn that close to home and set the Artemis IV crew up for success in 2028.
So much of watching all of this happen, it's about inspiring the next generation of space nerds like myself. I couldn't help but notice there's no women on this crew. Do you think we're going to see women going forward? There was a woman on the last crew.
Oh, of course. I mean, I think people may be reading into this a little bit too much. If you look at the last astronaut selection class at NASA, which was less than a year ago, more than 50%, the majority were actually female right now. People really don't have insight into how complex the crew rotation selection process is at NASA. They don't know what the next crew going up to the International Space Station is, who might be the commander of that or the pilot or the crew that goes after them that's in backup right now. And not to mention, we have a lot of astronauts up on the International Space Station. And we also have a lot of astronauts that are in EVA suits preparing for operations on the lunar surface as well that they might be better natural fits for a future lunar mission. So I'd say people shouldn't necessarily lean into that. There's kind of enough controversy in the world right now, and just celebrate the amazing, highly accomplished, talented Artemis III crew that's preparing for the mission ahead.
Administrator Isaacman, to many normal Earthlings, 2028 may seem very far away, but for NASA, it does appear to be a very ambitious timeline to land on the moon. So what are some of the benchmarks that NASA needs to hit to stick to that timeline? And how soon will the public know if you have to push that back?
That's a really good set of questions there. First, ambitious is what we do at NASA, right? Go back July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin on the surface of the moon, and then we brought them home safely at a time where we know so little about the domain and certainly didn't have the technological expertise we have across industry and the knowledge that we now have at NASA. I think it's vitally important that we launch Artemis III in 2027, to be clear. This is going to be an unbelievable show. You're going to watch the three most powerful rockets in the world launch. You're going to watch Blue Origin launch first with their test lander. Then you're going to watch SLS launch again, which is going to put the Artemis III crew into low Earth orbit. And then you're going to watch the SpaceX Starship launch. This is a multi-launch campaign. This has never been done before. And then all of those capabilities, Orion, Blue Origin lander, SpaceX lander, will converge in low Earth orbit, where they will test out rendezvous docking and interoperability tests. It's very important that we gain comfort with those operations close to Earth, bring that data home, roll in changes for the next year, 2028, where we go to the surface of the moon. Now, if you're asking, hey, is enough time from now to 27, a year, sufficient for Artemis III, and then a year from 27 to 28 to land on the moon? Of course. Back in the 1960s, we were launching missions to the lunar surface every couple of months. You give NASA and our industry partners a year, we're going to get the job done.
I just have to ask you, for people who aren't sure, what exactly is a lander and why is it so important?
Oh, what a good question. So, you know, back in the 1960s, when we did know so few, so little about this environment, we basically had to take everything we needed with us on a single rocket. I mean, that's why Saturn V was so big, and it carried the crew capsule. It carried the lunar lander, which was designed just to go to the lunar surface and then back up to the command module. It also had to carry the rover at one point in the future. We don't need to do that now anymore. We can use different rockets for different reasons. It could be more efficient that way. For example, we have about 5 or 6 different companies and rockets that we're using to build out the moon base. So the lander in itself is just what the crew will move into to go down to the surface of the moon. It's designed just for that environment, and then it will come back up and transfer the crew back to the Orion spacecraft. And it could potentially in the future do that multiple times, so you never have to throw it away. So this is kind of a more efficient future that you're going to want when you're going back to the moon to stay.
Wow, 2028 can't come soon enough. Jared Isaacman, thank you very, very much. So good to have you. Appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure.
The 2026 FIFA World Cup kicks off tomorrow. This time, the U.S. team has home field advantage, so expectations are incredibly high. The U.S. begins its quest on Friday against Paraguay, led by captain Tim Ream. The veteran defender is playing in his second World Cup. Mark Strassman met the 38-year-old, who's known for staying calm and leading by example.
If you know nothing about soccer or don't get all the World Cup fuss,
knocks it down, Ream is there!
Tim Ream is a good starting point. He's easy to spot on the pitch. Look for the player with his signature man bun.
Imagine with this World Cup, a Super Bowl every single day for 5 weeks. That's what this is.
It's a lot of excitement.
That's a lot of excitement. It's not an accident that 5 billion people that will be watching.
You know him, you love him, from St. Louis, Missouri, it's Tim Ream!
Ream's expected to anchor the defense on the pitch and the U.S. men's national team as a whole off it. That's because at 38, the oldest on the team,
and a follow-up is scored for the United States.
He's no longer the kid from St. Louis or a kid at all. He's a veteran team leader known for his ball skills and pitch-perfect calmness, a grace under pressure. This U.S. team needs that on the eve of the world's greatest sporting spectacle.
How is it different when you're playing for your country rather than playing for a club?
You're playing for 330 million people. That's a big deal. There's added responsibility and added eyes, but at the same time, it's the ultimate goal. It's the ultimate honor.
Added pressure on the field, too?
Oh, there's added pressure on and off the field, yeah.
But don't take our word for his specialness on the field. Fans can spot it from the stands.
What he brings to the team is unmatched, and we need that in order to have a good World Cup.
He's America's man bun.
And he doesn't let us down.
And Ashley Westwood notices it up close.
He's professional. He's ultra-professional.
Ream and Westwood are teammates on the Charlotte Football Club of the MLS.
What makes him special as a leader? What makes him special as a person?
He's different to me. I'm more of a shouter. Tim is very calm and collected.
There's that word again, calm.
How do you stay as calm as you do?
I'd like to say that's just my nature, but when people see crazy, I just see normal speed. And it is a game, and I get to play that game. And so what's the point of stressing out about it?
In the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, Ream played on the U.S. men's team that reached the round of 16. The Netherlands booted them from the tournament 3-1. This year's tournament will be played on U.S. soil. Home field advantage for the Americans.
What would define success for the U.S. team in this World Cup?
Why can't we win it? Why not us? It's something that we're very vocal about. A lot of things have to go right. Very few things have to go wrong.
For everybody.
For everybody. And that's not just us. That's for every single team. I have no doubt that we could potentially win.
Spain, France, and England, this year's World Cup favorites, could fold under pressure. After all, they don't have Tim Ream telling them to keep calm and play on. For CBS Mornings, Mark Strassman in Charlotte.
We will all be cheering USA, USA.
That's right, of course.
For it.
Of course.
Ahead first on CBS Mornings, our good friend Sarah Gellman is here to reveal Amazon's best books of the year so far. Can't wait.
Hey, parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back to CBS Mornings. We have Amazon's best book of the year so far. First on CBS Mornings, it's the novel Kin by Tayari Jones. To buy Kin, scan that QR code right there on your screen. Amazon Books editorial director Sarah Gellman is with us this morning. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having
morning.
Me.
I am curious, before we get into all the books, how you guys chose what these books would be on this list.
Well, we're reading a ton, and we put together a best books of the year or month list every month. And then we come into the room halfway through the year. We started with 24 when we go into this locked room to vote, and we end up with 20. So four went away. And then for this list, we actually were unanimous on the top five, especially number one. And then from there, 6 to 20 was where the fun happened.
All right, so before we get to the number one book for our viewers at home, you can scan the QR code for each book that Sarah is talking about. So make sure that you pick your phone up and scan it. It's going to be specific to the book that we cover. All right, Sarah, so let's get to number one.
Number one. So as I mentioned, number one was unanimous. I know that you guys have talked about this book here,
yep.
Kin by Tayari Jones. So this is about two childhood friends. They're brought together by the loss of their mothers. And even though their paths diverge in life, they become each other's salvation. This book is set in the Jim Crow era of the American South. It is heartbreaking. It's lyrical. It's just this beautiful book about motherhood and friendship. Mm. And it really, our editor that read it first said, these sentences sing. And ooh, we all agreed. This is definitely a book you can hand to just about anyone, and they're going to find something meaningful in it.
Yeah, my wife read it for her book club, and it's like next on my list. Coming
great
in
book
at
club
number
book.
Two, yeah, it's a great book club book. It's an Oprah book club book.
Yeah.
Coming in at number two, you've got a story about family and crime on the list. What made this stand out?
Okay, London Falling, yes, by Patrick Radden Keefe. This story is so unbelievable and gripping, you will not believe that it is true crime. But this is what happens. So one morning, Rochelle and Matthew Brettler wake up in their upper middle class London home, and they realize they have no idea where their 19-year-old son, Zach, has gone. Days later, police knock on their door and they say that Zach is dead. And they have video footage of him jumping off of a balcony of a high-rise luxury apartment building into the River Thames. Wow. They're shocked. And so they start investigating. And what they find out is that Zach has concocted a secret identity for himself as Zach Ismailov, the son of a Russian oligarch and heir to a huge fortune. And he's conned all of these incredibly dangerous men along the way.
Oh.
So the story kind of zooms in on his life and then out on the history of London. I feel like Patrick Radden Keefe is really the current master of narrative nonfiction.
He really is. I mean, I loved his book,
Say Nothing. It is chilling.
It is one of the great books, if you can also read that one. But also you scan the QR code for London Falling.
Yeah. Okay. Number three, we have to talk about, this is a book club that book that was from my personal book club. Lots of controversy around this book. You say it would be a a mind blown emoji.
Yes, this if this book was an emoji, it would be this one. Because that is what you feel like when you finish this book. This is the book that everyone is talking about this year. And it's also Anne Hathaway is set to produce and star in a film adaptation.
Oh, okay.
So the main character is Natalie Heller Mills. She is a trad wife influencer who's living her best life on her ranch yesteryear. And then one day she wakes up in the year 1855. And suddenly this life that she has romanticized is her harsh reality. So this is a book that is really unlike anything our editors have ever read before, which we read a lot, so that's saying a lot. You will read this book and immediately want to talk to people about it.
Word harsh reality right there.
Yes.
All right, number four, a memoir about marriage.
Yes, so Strangers by Bell Burton. Speaking of books everyone is talking about, this book was published in January and the conversation is still going
strong. It's all over TikTok still.
Yes, exactly. So one day, Bell Burton, early in the pandemic, gets a phone call, a man saying, "My wife is having an affair with your husband." And the next morning, her husband walks out the door and he says, "I'm done with our marriage and I don't want our house and I don't want our children." And her mind is blown. So this is a divorce memoir, but it's also this forensic examination of a love and a marriage gone wrong. And I think she puts words to our worst fear that the person that we love and trust the most is going to come an utter stranger to us.
Wow. All right, rounding out the top five is a suspense novel. What made Night Objects top five?
So Night Objects is a debut novel by Eli Raphael. It's like a mashup between Liz Moore's The God of the Woods and also Donna Tartt's The Secret History. It's about a 15-year-old girl who's sent to a boarding school where she's a total fish out of water with this very entitled crowd. And so desperate to fit in, she ends up being pulled into this secret and dangerous club. Mm. She's, as I said, debut. I recently had a chance to meet her and I was blown away. I think she is a writer to watch.
All right, Sarah Gilman. Wow. Great as always.
Thank you so much. Always. Great books.
All right, that is a pivotal scene from Prime Video's Off Campus, and you may recognize that song. It's called "Bed on Fire" by G-Flip. The musician first became a star in Australia, but is becoming a worldwide phenomenon since the song appeared in the hit series. Spotify streams of "Bed on Fire" jump more than 4,000% in the week after Off Campus premiered. G-Flip's monthly listeners have surged to a reported 230%, and they call that life-changing. G-Flip is here. Good morning.
What's up? How are you doing?
What's up?
So let's talk about this. Bed on Fire, how did it end up in the show? And what was your reaction when you first saw it in the episode in that scene?
Yeah, so I got an email back in January saying that, you know, they're going to use this song in Off Campus, this new young adult TV series. It's an adaptation from the book, and I approved it. And then, yeah, it was a few weeks ago that the show came out, and it's just blitzed it, and it's gone so viral. And then, you know, my team sent me the clip, and it's quite a raunchy scene. You guys had
to
edit
something,
it down.
Yeah. Raunchy is an understatement.
Yeah, it's quite spicy. So obviously I was watching and I was like, oh, here we go. Oh, that's a bit nice. And then, yeah, they used the whole track, which doesn't happen a lot in sync. So people heard my chorus three times in a row. So, yeah, it's my life, you know, I'm in New York City now, so my life's changing.
Life is, well, speaking of that, listen, we have all sat and watched the show, and then we heard a song, we're like, oh, that song is nice, that's a vibe.
Yeah.
But I never really know what happens after that. This song, like you said, is on fire and it's everywhere. When did you know, like, it was really blowing up?
I think, like, within the first 3 days, my team constantly texting me being like, look at the data, look at the stats, look at our monthly listeners, look at the followers. And everything was just jumping, like the graphs and the analytics of everything. It actually looks like hockey sticks because it's like kind of flatlining for me and then it just goes up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really crazy. And I'm just so thankful for Off Campus for whacking my song in there because, yeah, it's you know, helping me break into industries and countries, people hearing my music that I never thought would.
Yeah, and they are discovering your music, a lot of people, for the first time. This song's been out for a little while for you. What I think is so interesting about what you do, you actually recorded all the parts of this in your house.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I made this whole song and, you know, all my records, I just make them in my house. I sing in the living room on the couch. I've got a little drum room in the spare room. I record all my drums. But yeah, I'm a multi-instrumentalist. I was always a drummer and I thought I was gonna pursue that and play for other artists, but then I got the confidence to share my own music. And yeah, me and one of my best mates, Aiden, we just get real music nerdy in the house and we track all the parts. And
love it.
Aww. Yeah.
Well, so you also posted a video of yourself tearing up at the thought of your mom getting bumped from her spot as your literal number one listener on Spotify. What about that made you so emotional?
Yeah, you know, I've got such a supportive family and friends, and my mum, you know, she rinses my music. She's listening to it all the time. So when it comes around to your Spotify end of year, you know, she's sitting next to me and I realized, like, it came up on her phone that she was my top listener globally. So she listens to me the most. And now that this song's popped off, you know, I just got emotional because it's like, oh, wow, like someone else might be my number one listener this year. It might not be my mum, but I love that my mum, I love that you listen to my music so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just like, wow, you know, my music's really hitting,
yeah,
you know, globally, and the streams are going crazy. And yeah, I'm just so thankful. And I just feel like I won the golden ticket, you know, having this moment. And I'm so fortunate and so grateful.
Yeah, real quick, there's probably a lot of young artists that are struggling to find their footing, waiting for their moment. What is your advice?
My advice is just stay positive and keep working, because you never know when that moment's going to hit. This came out of nowhere, and I was in a spot where I'd released this song last year. I'd finished my album campaign and the touring. I actually was like feeling a bit flat, like I didn't know what I was going to do next. Like, do I have to start another whole campaign? And then this,
and
just...
then, boom!
Yeah, I know.
And here you are.
I know. Woo!
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
You.
Good luck. Keep doing your thing. We're big fans.
Thanks.
We'll see you tomorrow on CBS Mornings.